Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Fan Worship Center's podcast number 133 for July 11, 2010. In this podcast, Pastor Archie will be sharing his message titled, The Heart of a Finisher. Enjoy.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'd like to read from verses 5 to verses 10. 1 Peter chapter 5. You got your Bibles? Amen. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resisted steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you us, or hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Praise God for his word. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God for his presence. Amen. I like that song, Brother Bobby. One of my favorite songs. Hallelujah. Now, I would like to speak to you today on the topic of having the heart of a finisher. Having the heart of a finisher. Now, God wants you to be a finisher. Can you say that to your neighbor? God wants you to be a finisher. God wants you to be an overcomer. Amen. Now, either you're overcome by the devil, or by your problems or circumstances, and you live defeated lives, or you are an overcomer and live in victory. Which one do you want? Right? Either you are a victim or you are a victor. And of course, I want to be a victor, right? Yeah. Only the overcomers will hear Jesus say, when he will call his people, give them the reward. One of these days, Jesus says to those who are overcomers, to those who are faithful, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. Over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. That is our goal. That is our hope, to enter in the joy of the Lord. Now, the things that we need to understand about God is that God is a finisher. You know that? God is a finisher. Everything that he has created has a purpose. And there is a purpose at the end of time. Now, when God placed man in the Garden of Eden, he told him to have dominion over his creation. He wanted man to be in fellowship with him. But the devil came to mess up things up. And so what happened? Curse was manifested. What are the effects of the curse? Death, sickness, poverty set in. But praise God, at the end of the book, at the end of the Bible, If you read the book of Revelation, if you read your Bible, we know that we will end up victorious. Amen. You know that the devil will be what? Thrown into the bottomless pit. The Bible says for 1,000 years, and we will reign with Christ during the millennial period. Then the devil will be thrown into the what? Lake of fire. And he will be tormented day and night forever and forever. Then the Bible says, will come the new earth and the new heaven, and there will no more curse, no more pain, no more death. And that is the plan and purpose of God. That is the finished work of God. Amen. Jesus came to finish the plans and purposes of the Father. He said to disciples, my food, you know, food is important, right? He said, my meat is to what? Do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what Jesus came for in this world, to finish the work of God. On the cross, the last words that he spoke was what? It is finished. It means that he has done everything that God has told him to accomplish. It means that the devil has been defeated. Now, Paul the apostle was also a finisher, as all of us should be a finisher. He said to the Ephesian elders in his farewell to them, knowing that he's going to die, he said, now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what things will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, he says. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may, what? Quit the race. No, he said, so that I may finish the race and the ministry which I received from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, Paul is saying here, the trials, persecutions will not discourage him, will not dissuade him, will not prevent him from preaching the gospel, will not prevent him from finishing the ministry and mission that God has given him to tell about the grace of God. He was single-minded and determined to serve Jesus Christ even unto death. Are you determined to be like that? Like the Apostle Paul? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say I'm determined?
Amen.
All right, that's your vow to the Lord. Then when he was ready to die, what did Paul say? For I'm ready, already being poured out as a drink offering. You see, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice in the altar included the pouring out of wine as an offering, which means Paul is saying here that I have poured out my life as a drink offering in the service of God. And the time of my departure is at hand, he says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's how focused Paul was. So Paul is saying, or was saying, death is nothing to me because to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So God is a finisher. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And God wants to what? Finish the work that he has started in your life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He has saved us, has poured his grace upon us, and day by day the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. So God has given us all the resources that we need, amen, to be a finisher, to be an overcomer. The Bible says God has given everything for life and for godliness. Therefore, there's no excuse for us, amen, to quit and backslide and go back and deny the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Word of God. Now look at the promises that God has given us in His Word. David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. You know, when God saved you, He did not save you to be defeated Christian. He saved you so that you become an overcomer, a finisher, a strong, mature Christian. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work, who has begun a good work in you, Christ, he says, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God we are not living on our own. We are living on Christ's strength. You say, Pastor Archie, the Christian life is hard. It's true. But it's more than hard. It is impossible. It is impossible without the grace of God. You cannot make it on your own. That's why you need God every day. Jesus said, without me, you cannot do anything. Every day is a new day to receive the grace and the power, the strength of God. You cannot make it on your own. I cannot make it on your own. You know what? My life is a borrowed life. You know that? Your life is a borrowed life. That's how serious it is. Again, Paul says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you. What? Partially? Completely. Amen. Completely, he says. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. It says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you, who has called you? God. What? It says here, is faithful, who also will do it. That's why God has not left you alone. He is with you. He's a faithful God. Amen. That's what the Bible says. His compassion fail not. Every morning we receive His mercies. Amen. All right, there are five things that I would like for you to put in your spirit, all right, so that you become a finisher. Five things. I was not able to put them in the PowerPoint, but you can put them. You can write them if you want to. Number one, Jesus must be the absolute Lord of your life. Peter says in verse 6, what does it say? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Jesus must be the absolute Lord of your life. Now, there are two kingdoms in this world. One kingdom is the kingdom of what? Darkness. Under the domain of the devil. And the other side is the kingdom of what? Light and righteousness, peace, joy, love, power, healing, and prosperity. That's under the kingdom of Christ. Amen? That's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but what? Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And in the middle is the cross. One is darkness, one is light. The middle is the cross. And the Bible says, God has transported us, has what? Delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him believe and join a church and live any way he wants to. Is that what he said? No. That's not what he said. And that's what basically we tell people. That's basically what we are taught. What do we tell people? Believe. Say a set of few words. Join a church. Go to church once in a while. Then the devil will not bother you. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. Because God, Jesus said, listen to what he said. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, in the old times, when the Romans executed prisoners, they carried their cross, they never came back. They died. So when you're following Christ, you must be willing to die. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You must be willing to die. To die what? Not necessarily physically, but first of all, it says here, to deny yourself. Which means you say no to the devil, no to the works of the flesh, no to lust, no to hate, no to greed, no to pride, no to selfishness, no to self-ambition. Until you are ready to say that, until you are ready to exchange your sin for the cross, until you are dead to sin, not only forgiven, but dead to your own ways, you are not really saved. You are not really born again. Can you say, ouch? I have only one right. You have only one right. And that is, know to self, embrace the cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His Son into marvelous light. I am not living for myself anymore, nor for the world, but for the Lord of my life. Amen. That's why He needs to be the absolute Lord of your life if you want to be a finisher. So the number one key to have the heart of a finisher is to make the great exchange. Amen. From myself to Jesus Christ, His Lordship over me. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, what did he say? He went to Jesus one day, excited. He even knelt down on the side of the middle of the road and said to Jesus, Lord, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, have you followed the commandments? He said, yes, Lord. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, honor your parent, all this. He said, yes, Lord, I followed all this since I was a young man. And what did Jesus say? One thing, you lot, go your way, sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Jesus was saying, you sell everything that you have, take Jesus Christ, and you will have everything. That's the paradox of the Christian life. Amen. But this young man, because he worshiped his wealth, his career more than God, what did he do? The Bible says, he said no. He went away sad. That's why Jesus said, it's easier for a what? What? A camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's why don't bang upon your riches. Your riches will not bring you to heaven. It's only the grace of God. It's only the mercy of Christ. Amen. Because he was not willing to exchange the things of this world to the things that are eternal. He was not willing to exchange the things that decay to the things that last. On the other hand, Zacchaeus said to Jesus when he got saved, "Lord," he said, "I give half of my possession to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." See that? The transformation that happened in Zacchaeus' life, because he knew the great exchange. Amen. And there is no security outside of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Look at the stock market. Some have lost a lot. In my small investment, I have what? I lost what? 30%? Boy. It's up and down, up and down. That's why I don't bank on the things of this world. Amen? My retirement plan is not what? My retirement plan, but my retirement plan is in Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, number two. Number one is you must make Jesus Christ the absolute Lord of your life. Number two, you must submit yourself under the covering of a local church. Did you get that? You must submit yourself under the covering of a local church. Verse 5 says, Peter says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." Now, the devil hates when we love one another. You know that? The devil hates when we are united and submitted towards one another. The devil is happy when we are divided. The devil is happy when we are fighting, bickering, grumbling, gossiping against one another. He's happy when we isolate ourselves from one another. That's what the devil wants. That's why we need to be one. We need to love one another. Amen. That's why we need to be under the covering of a local body of believers, where we are cared for, where we are responsible, where we are accountable. Because when we isolate ourselves from the church, that is when we are vulnerable and the devil can easily defeat us. You know that? How does a lion pounce on his prey? You know, you saw those movies, Animal Kingdom or whatever, in those movies. You see a lion, what happens? It's tricky. He looks at the smallest, the weakest animal, right? Then he separates them. Then he pounces on that prey. That's why the devil wants you to be isolated from the body of believers. That's when he is able to what? To defeat you. But when you are one, there is strength in one, there's protection. When we are together, he cannot do that. Amen. So why is unity very important? Because if we stay together, we can do anything. Amen. There is power in unity. Even Satan recognized that. All right? That's what the Bible says here. There is blessing, there is anointing of the Holy Spirit, there's power, there's revival when there's unity. The Bible says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." So when there's unity in a family, husband and wife loving one another, the children in respect to their parents, there is life in that family. Amen? There is strength in that family. Whatever problems they go through, there is power. They can stand. Amen? You see that in the book of Acts, the Bible says that the disciples were one with one another. They prayed in one accord. That's when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, the Bible says, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. That's why their witness was so powerful. Was so powerful. That's why the Bible says they turned the world upside down in their generation. Now, unity comes when there is mutual submission and love for one another. That's why Peter says, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you, he says here, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. In other words, be under the authority, be under the covering of one another, and that is the best place where you can have that is in the local church. Amen. Amen. The best place where you can have that is in the local church, because the local church has mutual submission towards one another. Look at how Peter says to the elders. I did not read that, but in chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, it says here, to the elders. So he's talking to the elders now. He's talking to the pastor. He's talking to me. He's talking to the elders of the church. What does it say here? To the elders. He's not talking to the young people now. He said, to the elders who are among you, I exhort you, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. That's how the pastor, that's how the elders submit to the body. How? By what? Willingly. What else? Dedicating himself to the people. And it says here, not being a dictator. It says here, not lording it over to those entrusted, but being examples. Be examples. We lead by examples, not by authority. That's where authority comes from, by example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, there is also a verse there which says about the submission of the members of the spiritual authority of the leaders. It says here, Hebrews 13, 17, obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. See, the pastors are accountable to God. Amen? Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. So, for the leaders to enjoy their ministry, the congregation has to what? Respect their authority. Amen. Otherwise, mahirap. Mahirap. It's hard, right? And it will be a burden to them. So that there's joy and not with grief, it says here. Now, but if you rebel, you have the spirit of Satan. You know that? Because Satan's spirit was rebellion against the authority of God. When you rebel, what is it saying here? When you rebel against God's delegated authority, you are invoking demons in your life, in your family, amen, even in your ministry. Leaders are imperfect people. I am imperfect, right? We make mistakes. All of you make mistakes. You may be smarter than I am many times, right? But until God has put you in this pulpit, all right, you wait your chance. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, when you are planted in a local church, there is benefit. There is a fruitfulness. Look with me in Psalms 92, verse 12 to 14. Psalms 92, verse 12 to 14. Get that? It says here. You can hear, say, also listen. Or you can listen and say, read. It says here, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. See, when you're righteous in the sight of God, you will flourish. Yes. Amen. You will be successful. You will be fruitful. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted. It says that. You say that with me. Planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Hallelujah. I like that. That's good for the senior citizens. So senior citizens like me, your time is never up. God is still, he can use you. Amen. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. What you need is to retire. Put a new tire. So, it says here, you can still be fruitful in your old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Oh, praise God. So, older folks like me, the Lord can still use you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Now, number three. You must decide to cast all your cares and worries to the Lord. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, if I cast something to someone, all right, it means that the thing that I have cast or thrown away, all right, does not belong to me anymore. You know that? Belongs to you. Or it belongs to the one that you cast into. Now, what do we cast all our troubles and worries to the Lord? First of all, he says he cares for you. He loves you. He knows what is best for you. Amen. He's our Heavenly Father who cares for us. Secondly, he's the only one who can take care of what you're worried about. I cannot do it for you. He's the one who can do it for you. Amen. He knows what is best for you. But if you worry, you're attacking God's character. You're saying to God, God, you're no good. Right? We just sang that song, God is good. Sometimes, all the time. God is a good God. When you don't cast your worries unto the Lord, you're saying, God, you're no good. Right? You are attacking his character that is a faithful and a loving and a good God, good Father. And you question his ability to provide. Now, there's a direct relationship between our casting our worries to the Lord and how God deals with our problems. All right. So, if I hold unto my worries, then God cannot do anything about it, right? But if I cast all my cares, all my worries unto the Lord, then it doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to God. So, Lord, it's your problem, not my problem. You see that point here? Now, there's a difference between what? Praying and worrying. in praying, you cast it to the Lord, right? And say, Lord, it is yours. But in worrying, you say, it's mine. That's why Paul says, in the things that Jenny read this morning, do not be anxious about anything. Anything that you need, do not be anxious about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Because as you worry, you're releasing negative faith. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, whatever needs you have, you cast it to the Lord, right? Then you speak the word. For example, if you are sick, you say, Lord, I surrender my sickness to you, right? You're my healer. And you claim the promise of God, which says, by your stripes I am healed. You promise the God, the promise of God about healing. About healing. Right? So you cast it to the Lord. Cast that problem, that sickness to the Lord, and say, Lord, by your stripes I am healed. Now, if finances, if you need finances, right? The devil comes to you and say, oh, you don't have enough money to pay your bills. All right, you'll be taken out of your house. What do you say to the devil? Devil, you're a liar. Speak to the devil. Devil, you're a liar, because the word of God says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So cast all your cares. Don't hold unto it. Bring them to the Lord. Day by day, whatever your concerns is, whatever you need is, Lord, I need this thing. Amen. I cannot make it on my own, Lord. Supply all my needs. Amen. There's so many verses in the Bible that promises you that God will supply all of your needs. Amen. Number four, you must make up your mind that you are in a spiritual war. Verse 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, means be awake, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So make up your mind that you are in a warfare. The Christian life is not a Sunday picnic. It's a war. And your enemy is powerful, supernatural. But of course, greater is he that is in us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Than he that is in the world. But our enemy is powerful. And he is like, here it says, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour your hub. He wants to devour your children. He wants to devour your family. He wants to devour your ministry. The Bible says he is a thief. And it comes to kill, I mean to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do not expect that God will rapture you on a bed of roses. You know, we have so many casual, lackadaisical. That's a high faloting term, right? Lukewarm Christians. Wake up, folks, we're in spiritual warfare. When you got saved, God has drafted you in God's army. Amen. Yes. You're a soldier of the cross. Yes. You're a soldier of God. That's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. then you can resist the devil. That's why Peter says it. Make up your mind to resist him steadfastly. Resist him steadfastly. Amen. What does James says? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He cannot resist the power of a praying, obedient Christian. Amen. Lastly, number five, fight until God completes what he began in your life. He's saying, don't quit. Don't quit. The Christian life is not a 100-meter dash. After 100 meter, you relax. Now, the Christian life is a marathon. Marathon. The only time we finish our marathon, our race, is when we see Jesus face to face. Amen? There is no what? Relaxation. That's why Peter says, be what? Vigilant. Be awake. Amen? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brother in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Fight until you can say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there are lots of battles along the way. You know that? It says here, there are afflictions, not only single, but afflictions, sufferings along the way. But praise God, there is a comfort in our struggle. You are not alone. It says here, the suffering, the same sufferings are experienced by our brothers and sisters all over the world. So then don't engage in self-pity and say, oh, I'm the only one suffering this. No. You're not the first one. Everybody is going through different problems. But the comforting thing is that God has always delivered them. Amen? And if they have made it, you will be able to make it. Because God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. You may not be able to escape the fire, but you will go through the fire with him. You remember the three Hebrew teenagers? Nebuchadnezzar said, you must bow down to the statue that I have what? Made. But they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you, King. We don't even think about this. Because the God that we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, are you willing to say that? But God, if you don't deliver me, I will still serve you. Are you willing to say that? Like Job, he said, Job said, Lord, even though you kill me, I will still serve you. Of course, you know the rest of this story. God did not deliver them, did not prohibit them from going to the fire, but he went with them through the fire. That's why Nebuchadnezzar said, how many people did we throw into the furnace? They said three, but now I see four. And one of them is like the Son of God. Amen? Through thick and thin, through sufferings, the Lord will be with you. Amen. That's why don't say that you are the only one going through. Because all of us are going through different problems. Amen. The other comfort that we have is that God's grace and His strength will also help us in our trials and suffering. It says it, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. Which means that God's grace is available, always available for every situation. It says all grace. There is a grace for every problem, every trial. There's a healing grace. There's a comforting grace. Encouraging grace that we receive from God. Amen. Whatever you need, the grace of God is available. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love Him, who have called according to His purpose. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Are you called by God? If you do that, the grace of God is available for you. Amen? There's another comforting phrase here. It says here, that we suffer only a little while. Praise God. Which means suffering, pain is not forever. It lasts only a little while. It's like the birth of a baby. I haven't experienced childbirth, but I've heard my wife was giving birth to my kids. Yeah! But it only lasted, what, few hours, right? It's easier to endure the pain when you know that the suffering doesn't last forever. Amen? What did David say in the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5? It says, for His anger lasts only a moment. But His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Your suffering, your trial will only last a little while compared to eternity. Amen? So don't be discouraged. Some of those battles you may have lost, but praise God, what is the ultimate result? What is the ultimate result? It says that we are called to eternal glory. When we remain faithful to God, when we become steadfast, He says He has called us to what? Eternal glory. Right? The afflictions that we're suffering in this world is nothing compared to the glory that we will have in Christ Jesus. But while we're in this earth, it says here, what happens? You'll become perfect, established, strengthened, and settled, which means you are immovable. Nothing will discourage you. Nothing will affect you. That Satan cannot defeat you. Circumstances, problems cannot defeat you. Amen? You will be solid like a rock. Because you're standing on the rock of the ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you become a finisher. Then you will have the heart of a finisher. Praise God. And that's what I want for my life. That's what God wants for all of us, to have the heart of a finisher. Amen? Our God is a finisher. He's not quitting on you, so do not quit on Him. Amen? The question is not, will God finish? But the question is, will you let Him finish the work that He has started in your life? It's up to you. Amen? Let's stand up together. It all starts with the point number one, letting Jesus become the Lord of your life. That's the key. Because If you have Christ in your heart, the rest of these things will follow. So if you don't have Christ in your life today, submit your life to the Lord. Amen? Submit your life to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, you may be here this morning. You don't know Christ. You don't have the assurance of your life. If you die today, you don't know where you're going. You can be sure today by receiving Christ as the Lord of your life. So just pray this prayer after me. By committing your life to the Lord, just pray this simple prayer, and follow me or follow it in your heart as I pray. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love and your mercy upon my life that you died for me on the cross. You finished the work of salvation on the cross by offering your life, shedding your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. Jesus, I recognize that you have not been my Lord, my master in the past. I have lived the way I please, but now, Lord, today, I accept you into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life. Lord, help me to finish the race. Help me to finish, Lord, your purpose that you've started in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled, The Heart of a Finisher. If you would like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. You can reach us online at ffwcchicago.com. Our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. And our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.